Ourselves for Krishna's Janmashtami, I would like to read with you a text from the fourth chapter of the Gita. Let me see if I can find it. 4:9, okay. Also, someone kindly bring me an English Bhagavad Gita. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo vetitatvata.
Evam yo vetitatvata.
Chakvaryam puna janma.
Chakvaryam puna janma.
Naeti mangeti sarjuna.
Naeti mangeti sarjuna.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo vetitatvata.
Evam yo vetitatvata.
Chaktvaryam punarjanma.
Chaktvaryam punarjanma.
Maiti mangeti sarjuna.
Maiti mangeti sarjuna.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo vetitatvata.
Evam yo vetitatvata.
Chaktvaryam punarjanma.
Chaktvaryam punarjanma.
Maiti mangeti sarjuna. Yes.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Yo veti tatvatah.
Yo veti tatvatah.
Kareyam puna janma.
Kareyam puna janma.
Maiti mangeti sarjuna.
Maiti mangeti sarjuna.
Makama chame divyam.
Makama chame divyam.
Evam yo vetti tatvataha.
Evam yo vetti tatvataha.
Vadiham puna janma.
Vadiham puna janma.
Naiti mamiti sarjuna.
Naiti mamiti sarjuna.
Janma kama chame divyam.
Janma kama chame divyam. Evam yo veti tatvata.
Vadiham puna janma.
Vadiham puna janma.
Maiti mameti sarjuna.
Maiti mameti sarjuna.
Matajis, please. Janma, birth, karma, work, cha, also, medivam,
my transcendental,
evang, yoveti,
anyone who knows,
tatvataha,
in truth,
Jaktva,
leaving aside
Deham,
this body.
So nice. Just think of this concept. We will all leave aside this body one day, like we leave aside a shirt or a house or a life. Puna, again. Janma, birth. Na, never. Eti, thus attain. Mam, unto me. Eti, thus attain. Saha, he. Arjuna, O Arjuna. Translation. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world. But he attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. In the sixth verse, Lord Krishna had spoken something which we will hear about tomorrow, that although he's unborn, he gets born. And this obviously is a contradiction and needs to be understood, and if you understand such subjects, then no more rebirth for you. that's the idea here. So one who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of God, it is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after so much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, that is, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there's the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Sanghita, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. So there is a long, long purport, but it was a long, long day for us, and I will only read this much. I'm thinking of Gaurahari at the moment. Can you make music over the loudspeakers?
I could do.
Please do this now. Right now.
Oh, you give me a sign.
I'll give you a sign. Please set it up now. Please chant. Om Namo. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Vakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivashesha Shunyavani Paskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This text makes us wonder. The text says that by a simple understanding of Lord Krishna's appearance and leelas, we will be able to return back home, back to Godhead. And we might have a doubt. Is an understanding, which is something of the mind, really sufficient to bring us back home, back to Godhead? And we might doubt so, because we do understand many things, but we feel nothing happening in our heart, no bhakti, no transcendental emotion. So how can just an understanding alone lead to this exalted state of returning back to Godhead and associating with Krishna? We might have this doubt. There is an answer to this question in the next verse. It says that this knowledge in Krishna consciousness always has to lead the practitioner to bhava. Bhava is an emotional absorption in the subject he hears about. It says here, who really goes back to Godhead? It's not just the one who has some understanding. No, he has to be free from, he has to be bathed in love, lost in love. The verse tells us that such a soul is free from material attachment, fears, and also impulsive anger. He is absorbed in Krishna and takes refuge or shelter in Krishna only. It says that many of these souls, Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Puta, Puta Mat Bhavam Agata, they have all attained transcendental love for me, because they were purified by the force of transcendental knowledge. So if we hear about Krishna, then we are encouraged to remember that this knowledge is not just a theoretical concept, but it is something which can free us from our unhealthy attachments and give us that true attachment which is so necessary, love for Krishna. And I will try to tell you a little bit, or read to you a little bit about Krishna, so that you can hear about Krishna, understand how he appears, and so on. In the 10th canto, a very gloomy picture of the state of universal affairs is described. If you think we are now in trouble because of the economic crises and of the general lack of you know, sense and fixation in most of our contemporary men, you are right, it's a problematic time, but the time 5,000 years ago, the time where Krishna appeared, was much more troublesome. There was really a lot of aggression in the air. Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds and thousands of military phalanxes, which were led by various conceited demons who were dressed, falsely dressed in the garbs of king, really influential people who were extremely arrogant. It is described that Jarasandha, one of the rulers, was so demoniac that he would have a carpet in one of the rooms of the palaces, which was made of the heads of human being. Just think how perverted the intelligence of this man must have been. He liked to walk on the heads of kings, of rival kingdoms, which he had slaughtered. Imagine. Just imagine. It's really very, very bad. I heard of a ruler of Uganda once, Idi Amin, who would feast or eat organs of his enemies, which were tortured and then slaughtered. This very perverted person. But Jarasandha, who was after all the father-in-law of King Kamsa, of whom we will hear soon, was so perverted that he would really make man sacrifices and then take the heads and walk on these heads. Just think of someone who can do such a thing. I think you have heard of some of the habits of Adolf Hitler, and you were shocked when you heard it. But Jarasandha, who is the father-in-law of one of the main protagonists of Krishna Leela, you know, the Kamsa, King Kamsa, was really above these modern examples of conceited rulers and who had a brutal and diverted intelligence. So Mother Earth felt the weight of these people. Mother Earth is very, very sensitive, and she can bear the weight of mountains like the Himalayas or big bodies of waters like the ocean. But to tolerate demons on her ground is very, very difficult for her. These demons, like King Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Duryodhana, were just a burden. They ate cow flesh. They had habits like raping women. And Mother Earth felt very distressed because she couldn't take care any longer of her children, the many living entities. When a mother is not able to take care of her children by providing cloth and food and also the milk of her own body, she becomes extremely distressed and worried. One of our devotee mothers, very exalted Vaishnavi, described to me that she had a lot of pain to give birth to her child, a lot of pain. It was a very long process and very uncertain, will the child be healthy or not. It was really a difficult thing. But the most difficult thing was when the doctors had to take her newborn baby, who was finally born from her, away from her from her body, away from her, and put her into I think it's called in English incubation system, you know, incubator. Thank you, Lohsham Prabhu. Just that feeling of the children were taken away from her and into a different room was like an intolerable torture, which could not be compared with just this torture of seeing this difficult birth and so on. So Mother Earth felt this intolerable torture when her children, the many living entities, were suffering due to this, to these demons. And just like a woman who is longing for the time when her husband comes and helps her to take care of the children and supplies money or cloth or brings some food, Mother Earth was constantly meditating, when will my Swami come? Swami is a word of also of a husband. When will my Swami come? My husband come and will, when will he help me to take care again of the right affairs of the bird? So Mother Earth decided that she had to take help in order to call Krishna. This is what we also do when we engage in Sankirtan or singing the holy names of Lord Krishna. We seek help in our other God brothers, God sisters and devotees so that together we can call Krishna and attract Krishna. So Mother Earth took a shape in which she would invoke compassion of Brahma, the creator of this universe. She took the mystical form of a cow and in this form approached Lord Brahma and cried. She went on the top of Mountain Meru. That's a mystical mountain. It's a golden mountain on which top there is the office, you could say, of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma has two homes in this world. One is the office, that's on Mountain Meru, and the second is his place, his home, where he lives and worships, that's in Satyaloka, the topmost planet of this universe. So Mother Earth went to Mountain Meru, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and cried before the universal creator. She put all her anguish and all her motherly worry into her address to Brahma. She said, I just can't take care of my children any longer. I can't maintain them. They are oppressed and exploited by these demoniac kings who are really asuric, who want to ruin everything. Please, can you help? Brahma thought deeply. And there's a verse in the Bhagavatam which tells us a little bit about his deep inner thoughts. They're very beautiful thoughts which Brahma had. He said, I'm not Jagannath. I'm not the Lord of the universe. Krishna is. I'm not Deva Devam. That is the worshipable deity of the higher beings, the suras, the saintly beings. I'm just Brahma. I'm Krishna is Deva Devam. And I can never ever fulfill all desires and remove everyone's suffering. Only Vriksha Kapi Krishna can do this. Vriksha means desires. Only Krishna is able to fulfill all desires and remove everyone's suffering. So what we really need to take here, to take care of the universal disorder, is we need the Lord to appear, not me, the creator of this universe. With this very, let me say, thoughtful meditation on the Lord of the universe, on the one who's worshipped by the suras, not the asuras, and he who is really able to fulfill all desires and maintain everyone, Lord Brahma decided to go to this place in the universe, which is the personal home of Lord Krishna in this universe. It's at the bank of an ocean, the ocean of milk, and he went there with some of his other demigods. This brings us, gives us a very important lesson, my dear devotee, which I would like to really share with you, and I would really like that you explore this lesson for your own life. When you want the presence of the Lord in your life, you should not just call for him, you should go to where he is and visit him. For instance, I know that many of you are in situations in their lives where they require an answer of Krishna, or where they require more of a personal relationship with Krishna. You have done a very good decision. You have gone to the home of Krishna, to a bona fide mandir, a temple where there are deities of the Lord who was called with a proper ceremony which went over many days. You have really come to the home of God now, and you should feel at home. You should feel, wow, I'm with my Lord, I'm with Radha Madan Mohan. I will present to them my questions, my desires, and my needs, and I will wait for their answer. This is what Brahma did. He moved. He went on pilgrimage, you could say. He went to the home of the Lord. He left his office. Sometimes we need to leave our own office, our own home, our own comfort zone in life, and we need to move, do some pilgrimage. Some of us are also making plans now for the autumn time to visit that place in this world which Krishna never which Krishna never leaves. It's Vrindavan Dham. Some of us are making plans to go. And why not all of us? Sure, I'll come. At present, we are building with our Vedic Way team a retreat center for all of you, where you can stay, where you can have your room and your attached bathroom, and just read and chant and ask. Ask the Lord to become more present in your life. Yes, we are doing this as a service to you, so that you can come and make a pilgrimage. It's important to sometimes move, to sometimes leave this entangling scene of our ego world or our mind world behind, and go and ask for help. So Brahma went with the whole, with the whole group of devatas, keeping Mother Earth in front, and went to take help. Written. So they arrived at the ocean of milk, and there Lord Brahma with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and everyone else started to pray the Purusha Shukta prayers. And after praying this prayer, Brahma immediately fell into a trance. Hare Krishna, Ajit ji, we will supply a chair for you. There is a chair. Please. No, chair is available. You please sit. So happy. Oh, Ajit ji has come. So, they chanted this Purusha Shukta prayer, and it was a real serious thing. I hope you understand. Brahma, this Kamsa, was more powerful than Ravana. And Ravana's position was he could make the whole universe cry with his demon-like nature. That's his name, Ravana, he who makes the universe cry. Kamsa was stationed on earth, but he had fought with Indra and defeated him. He's a powerful demon, really powerful demon. And Brahma knew, we need God here to come. So he prayed really intensely. And as a result of his intense prayer, he fell into a trance. That is explained in the Bhagavatam. And my dear devotees, if you really want to make contact with Krishna, you have no other way. You have to fall in trance. It's not so cheap. What it means is explained in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam. Mano Hridam. For those who pray, they have to practice Mano Hridam. The mind has to go back from the world and go into the heart. And there, pray. To make it simple, pray from your heart. Huh? Be concentrated. Be not just lip prayers. It must be heart prayers. It must be some sincere Mano Hridam. So then, as Brahma went out of the outside world and went into the inside world, that is what is meant here with trance, and addressed the Lord, he could actually see the Lord in that innermost part of his heart, and the Lord began to pray to inform him. After he talked to him, and after the Lord had given him his answer to his question, when will you come and how will you come and can we help you in your appearance? Brahma slowly came back out of his trance and informed all the demigods what the Lord had told him. The Lord had told him. He repeated, in other words, what he had heard in the innermost chamber of his heart where the Lord had appeared. He said like this, O demigods, hear from me the order of Lord Vishnu and execute it attentively without delay. And then he says, the Lord was already aware of the distress in the universe. He knew that Mother Earth was in distress. The word which he uses is dhara, dhara. Dhara means Mother Earth, but it also means Mother Yashoda, who would become the mother of the Lord. The Lord appeared in two forms to two mothers, and we will hear this secret tomorrow. But dhara means also Mother Yashoda. So the earth was crying for the Lord to come and establish order. And Mother Yashoda was also crying for the Lord to accept her loving service. So the Lord knew that. But still, he was waiting that Brahma and the demigods and Mother Earth would come to him. My dear devotees, this is also a lesson for you, for all of us. The Lord knows about us. He knows about our confidential situation. But he wants that each one of us starts to talk to him, to address him, to seriously put the mind out of this world and into the heart, and then address the Lord with prayer. He wants that. He waits for each one of us. Therefore, he said, the Lord, Brahma said, the Lord knew about all these problems on the earth before we submitted our petition. Now, the Lord said to me, says Brahma, he will come and diminish the burden by his own potency. And you should help him, you the demigods, you should immediately, and the demigods went, the order of the Lord, yes, immediately, you should leave your positions as demigods and appear in the clan of the Yadu dynasty. That's the dynasty in which the Lord appears. And then you should help the Lord in various functions. The demigoddess should appear as Priyasakis, young unmarried gopis, who serve the Nitya Priyasakis, those gopis who are very close to Radha and Krishna. And he gave a whole list of services who should do what and where everyone should appear. And in this way, this is all Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We should be ready. We should be on the side of the Lord. And then he said, Sankarshan will appear as the older brother to please the Lord. Balaram. No, he will. He has already appeared. I think, can you help me? How many days ago? 8 days. 8 days, Lord Balaram has appeared as the older brother. Lord Balaram usually, often, there's a younger brother of the Lord, but Balaram didn't want to do that. because the younger brother always has to follow the older brother. For instance, when the Lord came as Ram, then that other part of the Lord, this first expansion, he came as the younger brother, as Lakshman. And Lakshman had to always tolerate what Ram wanted. You know, on the day of going, on the morning of going into exile, Lakshman said, we don't need to go into exile. I am here with my weapons. I can take care of everything. You please stay. Ram said, no. You are my younger brother. Let's go into the forest for 12 years. And then another time, Ram said, Lakshman, you have to bring Mother Sita on the chariot and bring her back into the forest. She will not be together with me any longer. And Lakshman said, what? And she is pregnant and you sent her into the forest? You're my younger brother. You have to do it. Lakshman was crying. He didn't want to do it, but what to do? Older brother. This was the situation. So now, the Lord's first expansion decided, I will be the older and I will tell what to do. Then Brahma said, the potency of the Lord, known as Vishnumaya, who is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. And she will act as Mahamaya for the demons. She will bewilder them. And she will act, this potency of the Lord will act as Yogamaya, which works with the devotees. Yogamaya's work was, she came to the prison when Krishna was born and transferred the seventh child from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb, that's Balaram, and she put Yashoda into deep sleep. So when it was time to exchange children, you will hear all about this tomorrow. Yogamaya never involves herself with sinful people, only with devotees. It was Mahamaya, for instance, who slipped out of Kamsa's hands, not Yogamaya. Kamsa is a sinful demon. He can't touch Yogamaya. He gets only Mahamaya. I like this very, very much because the Lord's potencies are very, very subtle. You know, when Krishna came to kidnap Rukmini, his beloved queen, who was also an internal energy of the Lord. There was a scene when Rukmini left the temple of Durga and came out of this temple. And you know, as Rukmini came out of the temple, all the eyes of all the kings and princes fell on her, and they were so overwhelmed with the beauty of Rukmini. They were so lusty that the whole bodies was shaking and they fell from the elephants and horses. What did they see? They didn't see Rukmini, the transcendent queen of the Lord, because they were not qualified. They were lusty men who wanted to enjoy. They saw a reflection of Maya, and Maya can be very powerful. You You know yourself when you look on someone and all of a sudden Maya enters you and you become filled with lust, then you know, ooh, this is the material energy. So this is what happened to the princess. They saw Maya. They didn't see the internal queen of Lord Krishna. We can so as devotees of the Lord, we always pray, oh Krishna, take your Maya away from my mind. Give me the protection of your Yoga Maya. Oh Yoga Maya, you are the mother of all the Vaishnavas. Kindly pull me towards Krishna, pull me away from my entanglement in Mahamaya. Yes. So this is what the demigods did. They all appeared one after the other in the families of the Yadu clan. Some appeared in the families of the cowherd men in Vrindavan, and they all waited for this auspicious time to come when Krishna would appear. Alright, this sign means no music. You can all see there's an empty place here. This place is for someone to appear. I don't know if you can imagine who this person is. Krishna's always right in such circumstances. You will be surprised. He will be very, very unexpected. My dear devotees, I have told you what on this day is told in many temples all over the world of the Krishna devotees who prepare themselves for Krishna's appearance. But I would now like to take this, what we have heard so many times, into a personal dimension, in the dimension of our own life. To celebrate Janmashtami, the devotees always pray that the Lord will appear in their heart. Janmashtami is not, you know, a historical event 5,000 years back. It's something which happens again and again and again in two dimensions. The first dimension is just that Krishna again and again takes birth on different planets in this vast Jagannatha, this vast universe. But the second dimension of Janmashtami is that Krishna should take his birth, or his appearance is better, in the heart of the devotee. And this brings me to encouraging all of us today, on the day before Janmashtami, to sincerely think of creating a space for Krishna to appear in our heart. It's called in various words, the Hridaya Akash is one, the Bhagavatam has another word for it, which I don't remember just now, a Sanskrit word, but it all refers to a sacred space, an inner space, or to make it more simple for us devotees, a temple which is in that heart. I'm very convinced that all of us need to become architects of this temple, the temple in the heart, our own inner space where something which is very private, which is very dear, very tender, which has to do with love, can take place and make its appearance. The Chandogya Upanishad, you know, these Upanishads are the very old scriptures, huh? They talk about this space which every human being should, every human being has, but which only a few, a minority, know to enter. Devotees have to enter this space to find Krishna. Let me say And the words of the Upanishad, how you can find this. They say, the Chandogya Upanishad compares this body with a town, you know, with traffic roads. These are the arterias and, you know, different big buildings in which commerce is taking place, or where the grain storage is. This refers to the organs like the stomach and the liver. And then the Chandogya Upanishad says, but there is a special house in this town of the body, which is the heart. And in that heart, there is a special room, which is the Hridaya Akash. It's the sacred room in which the soul lives and the Paramatma, the Lord. The Bhagavatam gives the example of the sacred space. It compares it with a cooling lake in which two swans reside. That is, the one Hamsa is the Jiva, and the other is Krishna. The Chandogya Upanishad says, find this room in your heart, O human being. There is where your real treasure is. Everything else which you own in the city of the body will be taken away from you. All your relatives will be taken away from you. All your fame will be taken away from you at the time of death. Only that what you find in that room, the room in the heart, you know, that is eternal. And only that will fill you with bliss and fearlessness. Find this room. The later scriptures talk of two kinds of people. The Bahyamukha Jivas, that is people who are, in modern psychological language, object-oriented or outwardly looking in the old language, and the Antyamukha devotee, those who are looking inside the heart and finding this room. It's very important to find this room. Have you found this room? Are you using this room? Do you know how to enter this room? Do you know how to get out of this room? Have you thought about this room, Paramatma Krishna Prabhu? It's a very important subject. Devotee means antamukha. You have to look inside. You have to find this. That's where the treasure is. God in your heart is definitely there. So this room, inner room, is not so much used by most of us because it's unfortunately full with the ripus. Ripus means the enemy. Lust, greed, anger, what is it? Kama, krodha, loba, then?
Moha.
Moha, matsaya, et mara. Yes. Now, the Lord appears in one form to take these enemies out of the heart. And I would like to chant with you and then wait with you for the appearance of this very special form of the Lord. I really request you that you kindly chant very deeply. We will have our Madanga ready. Our karatals will be available. And we will really chant in a prayerful mood, connected with our heart. You know, you can chant in two ways. You can chant a lip service, but you can chant with a sense of relationship that Krishna, I'm yours. I belong. I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world. Even in my Krishna consciousness, I keep on, you know, stumbling on this blind spot where I just don't remember you. And you can chant in a different way. So let us chant, and then we will hear about this form. It's a, I hope he comes. Mm. Mahaprabhu ki Krishna. I would like to introduce to you a very, very special and almost mystical personality who is equipped to take care of this Fremdbelagerung des Herzens. What is it called? A foreign influence of the demoniac army in the heart. This Rupus, six enemies of the soul, lust, greed, karma, lust, anger, greed, illusion. The coverings act as an army on our heart. They are powerful enemies who hold us imprisoned and conditioned in the material world. And that's why, as long as we are under the influence of these psychological impulses, the enemy is within as a psychological impulse. Our heart is just so occupied that we can't create a space for Krishna. It's not possible. And we may practice spiritual life, but it seems to not bear so much fruit. There's a prayer which says, I have tried thousands and millions of sadhanas, but my heart has remained like a desert. This is because of the rule of our heart, of these enemies which work in our heart. I have seen in our own little community in the Gora Bhavan, when some members fall under the influence of these, or if I fall under the influence of these enemies, my mind becomes just so restless and it seems not able to really connect with Krishna. So I was very desperate in one point of my life. Because I had tried so much and had gone so many places of pilgrimage, but it just didn't work. Then I read a statement of Srila Prabhupada where he said, in the age of Kali, an intelligent man, a woman, should worship the six-armed form of the Lord called Sat Buja, six-armed form of the Lord, who is able to bring these enemies out of the heart. It is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who has come in this age of Kali to give what no other incarnation has given before, that is love of Krishna. And you can see he is equipped, he's ready. How will he conquer our heart? Well, he has an arrow and bow which shows and greenish arms which shows that he is Rama. He has a flute in his two hands which are bluish, which shows that he is Krishna, and he has the stick of an ascetic and the water pot which is showing that he is a sannyasi. Three lessons are given in this form. The enemies must be killed in the heart, lust, greed, and envy, and that all this thing. And then, more important, I think, some detachment. Vairagya, this is not First attachment. First comes attachment. We must allow ourselves to become attached to Krishna by hearing about his pastimes, which we will do a lot tomorrow. Krishna Katha will churn our heart so that Krishna is ready and he acts in a most attractive way. And then, my dear devotees, it's easy to do the third lesson of Sadbuja. Third lesson is some detachment from Maya is required. You can't make advancement by holding your hands, allowing your hands to remain attached to the world of deception and illusion. So Prabhupada said, in this age of Kali, we should just sit before this deity and chant Hare Krishna and pray to him. And I request our photographer, I think Ranga Devi is there, to make a photo and put this on Facebook so that the devotees are, facing the ultimate help, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is really Krishna and Rama, who has appeared in this age of Kali to give us what no one else has given: Vairagya, Vidya, Bhakti, Nija, Bhakti Yoga. Detachment from all this, from all this which keeps us bound and keeps us unhappy and covered and crusted over. And and Nija Bhakti Yoga, eternal Bhakti Yoga, eternal loving connection through devotional service with Krishna. That comes through Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So in this Jamashtami, I would really encourage all of us to solidly take shelter at the lotus feet of Sadbuja, Mahaprabhu Sadbuja. You can watch him, he will be here a little bit after the lecture. And prepare your heart. I really like this very much. This inner space in the yoga tradition. The heart is compared, there's the Anahata chakra, which has a whitish silvery color. And it's a lotus, and it is there where Lord Krishna can appear. Very, very nice decoration. Today we have our best decoration. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow we will have a lot of opportunity to discuss more, to bathe our attention more in the form of the Lord. We will hear a lot of Krishna and his pastimes. Please plan your day according to the schedule which you will find, and those parts of the schedule which you feel will help you to develop more bhakti and more connection with Krishna. Please utilize your time wisely. You have come to a pilgrimage place, to the holy dharma of the Lord, it's now quite possible that you will get good spiritual answers and good empowerment in your transcendental heart so that you can become happy in your Krishna consciousness. I would like to end with a prayer. A prayer which is written by the poet Vidyapati. Vidyapati is a very famous poem and poet, an old poem. He lived in the town of Mithila, and he has written very devotional poetry which was relished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would relish basically the poems of three transcendentally empowered poets. One was Chandidas, the second was Jayadev Goswami, and the third was Vidyapati. And Vidyapati has written this prayer, which is which is very, very moving, because it appeals to Lord Krishna. He says, I have chosen this prayer because this prayer was very dear to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The prayer says, O Madhava, I come before you. I am useless and poor, but I have brought some water and some tulsi leaf because I know you like tulsi. Now I have come to you and I request you, please accept my body in your service. A hope is in my heart, O Madhava. I know that you are compassionate and that you will not reject me. Please accept me in your service. As I'm standing before you, you will only see faults, disqualifications. You will not find even a trace of good qualities in me. I know that. But you are known throughout the creation as Jagannath, the master of the universe. Therefore, do I, a worthless soul living within one of your universes, not have the right to accept you as my master? You are the master of all the universes. You are my landlord. Please accept me. Let me describe, tell you something about me. I am a very bad person. Birth after birth, I have repeatedly come and gone through so many lifetimes. Sometimes I was a human, sometimes an animal, and sometimes a bird. Then I was a worm or an insect. Now I only have one request. Whatever birth I take, may my mind always remain fixed on your narrations, your katha. The poet Vidyapati feels great pain in his heart and he humbly prays, O Madhava,
O Madhava,
O friend of the fallen,
O friend of the fallen,
please give this insignificant person shelter at your tender lotus feet. If you give me shelter, I may cross over this ocean of material existence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Krishna, has heard this prayer of Vidyapati, this prayer of all the devotees since time immemorial. The prayer basically says, I'm so unqualified and I'm really in danger. I've taken so many births and I have gone so many times away from this life. Please, I'm really a case which needs mercy. Really a case which needs mercy. And he has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the friend of the fallen, Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen. And he has come with all the potencies of God, the potency of destroying evil, and the potency which is maybe even more interesting or fascinating for us, the potency of attraction is Krishna. No? And in this way, we can let go of our unhealthy attachments to that which only brings misery. We all, you know, I mean, let me speak of myself first. I know what it means to have unhealthy attachments. They just come. because we are still in the material atmosphere. But when you turn to Krishna, it's not a problem. Krishna understands. He gives you attachment to his lotus feet before you can give up your attachments. If you just hear about him and chant his holy name. Hare Krishna. I'm looking at the time. Time is also there. Obviously, more discussions are needed, and more discussions we will have tomorrow. I want to thank you very much and ask, I think Sadanandi is our master of ceremonies, I heard. Maybe you could stand here, and then we will just have quick announcements. And then please come close to the stage. It's a little bit huge and a little bit small also. So you can see from close and become happy. Yes.